Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Hey, everyone. Before I jump into the recap of today's awesome episode, I wanted to quickly share some feedback we just got about our podcast. This person reached out through our website, LabradorLending.com. They said that they listened to From Adversity to Abundance, as well as the Rich Dad podcast, the Peter Schiff and Trends Journal podcasts. So apparently we're in good company. But this person also said, I'm retiring in less than 4 years. They're looking to find a way to generate additional income. But they said, in any case, I really enjoy your podcast. It keeps my spirits up during these last 2 years of craziness to hear how others have overcome adversity. So that's very inspiring for us, for me as the host. And so I just want to thank Jan for sending in that feedback. And we love hearing from the listener out there, so feel free to reach out. I'm super thankful that we're able to impact even a handful of people in a positive way. But we love your input, and happy to take input on the show. In today's episode, I got the chance to chat with Corey Peterson of Kahuna Investments. Corey runs a multifamily investing firm, as well as now a property management company. He's been on Fox, CBS, ABC, and NBC affiliates, and he's working on a third book. He's got a couple of books out already, so he's an author, and it's truly a rags to riches story that is very relatable, it's a moving one for sure. So we talk about kind of a couple of different points in Corey's life where he had some mental switches that happened, and you know, one where he grew up poor and was then exposed to wealth and realized, you know, what's possible. And so then that was a huge mental change for him. And then he started down the path of creating wealth through real estate. We also focus a good bit on, he tells the story of a real low point, which unfortunately a lot of people can relate to with regard to being a workaholic and not being the best father. He wasn't around. You'll hear the story. I can't do it any justice, but what I love about it is he did make that switch, and he recognized where he was screwing up, and he is very intentional now about his calendar and his time and planning vacations with his family. And he shows you that it's very possible to create abundance both in the financial aspect of things as well as the family in your family life. And so those don't have to be mutually exclusive. And so now he's got boundaries. Some might call it balance, but he reprioritized things in his life. And I mean, he is very successful, you know, on the financial side of things. But you can tell that it's all about relationships. That's another key takeaway from this one, is even within his business, he's all about relationships and people. This is a great episode, and you're going to take a lot of positive impact from this one. Thanks, everyone.
Investors, have you ever felt frustrated by your loan servicer, experienced challenging communication, or the headache of tracking taxes and insurance? Meet BiFi, a loan servicing company founded by investors for investors. With an expert team and best-in-class vendors, BiFi will partner with you to service your loan from start to exit. Visit BiFiLS.com to see how you can get started today. That's BiFiLS.com.
Welcome to the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. Are you an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur? Then this show is for you. Each week, we bring you impactful stories of real people who have overcome painful human adversity to create a life of abundance. A life of abundance. You are not alone in your struggle. Join us, and you will experience the power of true stories and gain practical knowledge from founders who have turned poverty into prosperity and weakness into wealth. This podcast will encourage you through your health, relationship, and financial challenges so you can become the hero in your quest for freedom. Take ownership of the life you are destined to live. Turn your adversity into abundance.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and today I'm thrilled to have with us Corey Peterson of Kahuna Investments. Corey, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well. Thank you, Jamie, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you taking the time. I know you. We're going to talk about time here, I think, on this one. But time is obviously a very valuable resource for all of us. So we appreciate you taking your time to impart some wisdom on us. Tell us, you know, who you are today and what you're up to with your business and, you know, why we should listen to you.
Well, I don't know why you should listen to me, but I think I know a couple of things about failing, adversity, and really getting kicked in the nuts, but able to survive and persevere. I think the entrepreneur creed is like the sooner you learn how to fail and fail faster, the actually faster you'll succeed. So today I am a multifamily operator. I think I own like $230 million worth of commercial real estate across the United States. We're vertically integrated. I mean, we have our own management company. We self-manage our assets. We have got about, 40 employees on that side of the ball. And but I love real estate. I love what it does. And but it wasn't always perfect, right? So, truly, I'm living my best life. I enjoy what I do. I speak, I teach, I coach, and run a mastermind. So we're kind of doing a little bit of all, but mainly my proudest thing that I am has nothing to do with real estate. And it's more about my proudest achievement is I feel like I've been a full-time dad.
That's awesome. Right?
And a good husband to my wife. Most of the time.
Hey, I've got kids and a wife and and I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a real estate investor. And, you know, I know a lot of our listeners can relate to what you're saying. So it can be challenging to do all of the above, at least well. So I think we're gonna dive into that in a little bit here. Just before we jump into your backstory, what does a typical week look like for you?
I start my day at 9. So I usually wake up at 5, right? So I wake up at 5, go to the gym at 6. I get off at 4-ish, right? I work Monday through Thursday. I take Fridays off. I calendar all my vacations. I calendar any of my kids' events. We take 3 to 4 really good vacations a year. Sometimes a little bit more if we want to, but I just live by a calendar, right? I've learned that that's the most successful tool. I love working. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I love what I do. I love coming into work. I mm-hmm. love my team. I love playing the game. And I'll probably do it till I die. But truly, mm-hmm. at this point, I'm really in the C-suite. I'm the CEO of my company. And my primary job is I control people, culture, and numbers.
Okay.
I kind of need to know my numbers for my business.
Sure.
But I find that my favorite thing to do is the culture piece, right? Hmm. If I create award-winning culture within my company, I retain some of the best and top and brightest talent. Mm-hmm. They want to stay for long periods of time, and they do amazing work. That's usually not just 1+1. It's usually 1+5 or 1+10, right? It's a 10X factor.
Sure. That's awesome. Yeah. I'd love to talk more about, you know, how you're able to set up this, you know, life that you're living. And we're going to get into that. So let's jump into your backstory. I know before we hit record, you shared a little bit with me as far as some of the pain that you've been through and, you know, maybe some of the mistakes you've made. Let's jump into your backstory and some of the adversity you've gone through.
Well, I would like to say it's been almost 22 years ago. That's when my life changed forever. That's when the fork in the road appeared. But I was with my girlfriend, and now my wife of 20 years, and my mom was married to a man called Bruce. I like to call him Bruce Wayne. He wasn't Batman, but right. Jamie, he was loaded. He had lots of money.
Okay.
And so we got this offer. My mom's like, hey, son, do you want to go to Hawaii? And I was like, yeah, right. But I'm broke because I was a used car salesman. And we had this girlfriend, and so I was like, are you paying, mom? And she said, yeah, I'll pay. Well, nice. We get to Hawaii, and I really never really met Bruce. I knew she was married to him. Mm-hmm. But Bruce had a house right on the beach. And I'm telling you, it was in Kauai, the Garden Island. I'm not sure if you know the islands, but Kauai, in my opinion, is the most beautiful.
Okay.
And it was on a cove. And so if you're not a morning person, you will be when you get to Hawaii, right? Shelly and I walked this cove, and we watched the sun come up. And it was like the scales of life fell off my eyes. Like, I'd always wanted to be successful, but here I was, a used car salesman, just not doing what I planned in life. And but I wanted it really bad. I remember looking over at Bruce's house, and I was like, dude, this guy is different. Because it was the first time, Jimmy, that I saw real wealth. Like, Bruce unequivocally had time and money. Like, his phone wasn't ringing, he didn't have any cares. I was like, dude, I've never seen it like this. So yeah. I was like, what do you do? And then he said the magic words. Said he was in real estate, that he owned apartments.
There you go.
Now, I wish the story got better, but it doesn't. Bruce was a grumpy old man. Okay. My mom was really pretty, so don't judge my mom. She did get me to Hawaii. But I left that island thinking that Bruce was the big kahuna. Like, sure. He had a lifestyle. So I read that Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, and all of a sudden I was like, dude, that's what it is. I want to do real estate. So I fell in love with real estate at that moment. And that's when I really got the download from the mothership. Like, this was my life. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you turn that so at that point, then I'm, you know, I go crazy. I'm starting to read all the books I can on real estate. I'm mm-hmm. just a book nerd. Finally mm-hmm. get to the point where I'm ready to start my company. And I'm like, what do I name it? And all I could think about is I wanted to be the big kahuna. So I named my company called Kahuna Investments. Yep. Right. And so but that's when the real work started happening. And at point, I was a wholesaler. I was going to these RIA events, Real Estate Investors Associations. Mm-hmm. And I would sit by smart people, the guys that had money. And I would figure out what they're doing and, you know, where they buy, what is their average rehab. And I would go and I'd find deals like that and wholesale them. And that was working pretty well. I was like, oh, wow, I'm now in real estate. And this right. happened, I really went about full time about 2009. And that's okay. when the Great Recession happened. So it was a great time to be in real estate. I'm finding these deals. And so then the next magic piece was someone gave me their actual money, right? I raised my first piece of private money. And I equate that moment to like going into the telephone booth as Clark Kent. And I spun around that thing and I was like Superman, right? And so nice. This guy gave me $85,000 to do a fix and flip. And once I got that, I was like, man, this is awesome. Because, you know, it takes money to make money.
Sure.
But it doesn't always take your money.
That's absolutely. What
I
learned,
right? It can be other people's money. So once I understood that, I'm really not that smart, Jamie, but I am a fantastic copier. Like, I can copy like nobody's business.
Yeah.
So I looked around and said, there's got to be some other people that's raising money that, you know, and what do they use? What's their tools? What are they saying? What are they not saying? And I found a mentor. And next thing I know, within a year, I have about $3 million that I'm working. Now, this is going to lead to the real setup. Mm-hmm. So here I am being the jack of all trades. And to the world's eyes, right, I am now 2 years in, like really, I started my company in 2005, but 2009 is when I went full time. By 2010, I'm jamming, bro. Like, I'm doing 7 or 8 deals, fix and flips a month. I'm making $20,000 to $30,000 a flip. Wow. My life looks, I'm looking pretty successful. I'm feeling successful, right?
Sure.
But there's some things that are not so good going on. And these are the things that hopefully your audience will think about. Because at that moment in time, to the world's view, I was great. But dude, this phone was tied to my ear. I could not escape it. I was a slave to it. And I was a slave to working at all times of the day, at all times of the night, Mondays through Sunday, right? Like, I was just a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
To make this almighty dollar.
So now let me just jump in. You we'll just figure out how old you are now. So in 2010, approximately, how old were you at that point?
30. Yeah, 30. Okay. Well, around 30.
Got it. So you'd been a used car salesman, then in your, I guess, mid-30s, right? You switched. Yep. You were kind of gravitating and slowly moving into real estate, and then you full-time.
2009.
So 29, 30, you go full-time into real estate. And then you start off wholesaling and flipping, ran out of your own cash in order to scale, which is a common issue, right? You need access to capital. Start seeing the light bulb moments are happening where you're seeing you can use other people's money to scale your business. But you're a workaholic. And so you, from the outside, you look super successful, super busy. This guy's crushing it. This guy's a genius. I want this life of, I want to be Corey Peterson. Maybe somebody was thinking on the outside. But tell us about what was going on in the family.
Because inside the home life, I was a wreck, right? My wife's like, gosh, damn, can you not just get off the phone for a minute? Look at me. What about me? What about your kids, right? And this was like a 2 year period where, you got to understand I grew up poor, right? And mm-hmm. I desperately wanted to get out of poor.
Sure.
And that was my driving force. And I thought that, I was saying things like, well, I'm doing it for my kids.
Sure.
I'm doing it for my family.
Yeah.
That's a lie, right? I was doing it for me, right? But there was an expense, a price to pay for doing it the way that I was doing it, because there was no balance. I didn't create any things that gave me time freedom or really any freedom. It was just work, 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 go, 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 go. Right. And my only thought was, this will not last. Right. I don't care. This will take care of us. But as I started to realize, but then something changed. So here's what happened. I was still active in my kids' life, but like, let's just say, wasn't perfect dad. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is at a pivotal time in your kids' life where around 7 and 8, they're really wanting and needing you. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And you want to be their coaches and that was, my dad was my coach. Right. So, but there was a time where my son was playing soccer. And he was like, hey, dad, you going to be at my game on Saturday? Mm-hmm. And I look at him like, yeah, no problem, son. I'll be there. Right. And I was like, his game was like 3:00. But in my mind, I was like, dude, Saturday, I got to go look at these 3 properties, because I didn't look at these rehabs, didn't touch base, see where they're at. So I was like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll just wake up early in the morning. I'll go all to these three properties and I'll get back in time for the game. Okay.
Sure.
Jamie, you know, you go to the first property and there's problems. Like, oh gosh, I got to run to Lowe's, got to get stuff. I'm like looking at my clock. Oh gosh, I feel like a little getting tight. Go to the second property. Now I'm getting like by the third property. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to miss. I get there. I show up to the game at, at the end of the game. And dude, my son comes off the field crying. And I'm just telling you, dude, if you've ever been broke as a parent, when you're this one's tough to tell, but like when you go in, he's like, Dad, you promised. Promised. And he just starts, and I remember taking his head and putting it in my chest, and he's like, like that horrible cry as a kid. And I'm just like, and I'm just taking him in, and he's just sobbing because it meant so much, and I wasn't there.
Right.
And I'm just telling you, Jamie, that moment broke me so true. I knew I was like, what in the hell am I doing?
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Like what is, because if it was horrible, right?
Yeah, no. And I, and just, I'll just say, I appreciate you being vulnerable. And, you know, I mentioned before we hit record, it's, you know, it's unfortunately a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of fathers can relate to this story, maybe not exactly how it played out in your case. And maybe there were times they should have actually felt what you felt. But the point is that it's very easy. You know, I own a small business, a few small businesses, and it's very easy to just, I love it. Like you said, I love building a team. I love, you know, generating income. I love real estate investing. Doesn't mean I don't love my family, but it's very easy to get sucked into working all the time. And you do tell yourself you're doing it for them. And maybe, you know, there is some truth to that as well. I mean, but so what did you do? I mean, it sounds like this really broke you.
Oh yeah. So, you know, it's funny. So kids are resilient. It's crazy.
Sure.
Even though I'm breaking his heart, he's like, goes home with me, wants to go in my truck. Right. So the whole way ride home is like, he's on this side. Right. And I'm dying inside, man. I'm like, oh my God, my little boy, I'm breaking his, just, it hurt him bad. And so I get home, drop him off. And my wife looks at me. She's like, you got to fix this. You got to solve it. Like, this is bull crap, right? This is what you've been doing, right? And so I get in my truck and I just start, I drive by myself, man. And I'm telling you, when I'm in that truck by myself, I am cussing myself out. So bad. What the F, you stupid SOB. Like, why would you do this? Why would you think you need to go look at these properties? Why couldn't you just go to the damn game? Right.
Sure.
And I mean, just beating myself up. And finally, I surrender my heart to God. And I asked God to forgive me. Right. And I found solitude. And I got into a place of quiet, right? And then that's what happened. Then it changed my life. Because I drove by the street that I go on. There was this apartment complex. And I've driven by it a million times, my friend. And I used to say, I wish I could own an apartment complex. And I drive by this apartment complex and I look at it empty, just broken empty. And I go, how can I own an apartment complex? I framed it differently.
You framed it differently. Sure. Yeah.
My brain starts working. I flash back to Bruce.
Yeah.
2004. Cash flow, time and money. He said apartments. He didn't say fix and flip.
Right. Absolutely.
And I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I flipped around. I did a U-turn. I went to Barnes and Nobles. I bought every book I could on multifamily investing.
Nice.
I found a mentor. And now I'm living my cash flow life, right?
That's awesome.
And, you know, I did go and I did some specific things too, really. My takeaways from that was I started to time block, right? And I can't remember who I learned this from, but like you know, the first thing we did, and me and my wife was like, listen, we, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So let's figure it out. Right. So the first thing we did is we booked our family vacations.
Yeah.
All right. You know, honey, when the kids do sports now, I actually said, I want to be their coach. Like, I was like, I want to start coaching. I'm going to get involved. Like, I'm not going to be the dad that didn't. Sure. I can do it if I will just make time for it. Right.
Right. You make it a priority. I mean, exactly. Other things are going to take a backseat.
So my daughter is playing, so I coach my son's football, I coach my daughter's soccer. And looking back, probably the best 4 to 5, 6 year span of my life that I'm the most proud of was being on that soccer field or that football field when the sun's going down, and we have amazing sunsets in Arizona, and being there watching these young kids and seeing your kid and knowing that you're the dad that's there.
Yeah.
One of the best feelings ever. So that's, I get to say that I was, even though I had a little spot where I screwed up royally.
Sure.
I fixed it, and I became a full-time dad, like truly the dad that I wanted to be to my kids, right?
Sure.
Because don't trade in money, by the way. No kid ever worries about how much money dad makes. The only currency they trade in is time.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I've not heard it put that way. You know, so yeah, and for the listener out there who may be dabbling in real estate or, you know, learning about different asset classes and things, I know a lot of newer real estate investors, in air quotes, get into wholesaling and in fix and flips because they think they're in. You alluded to it earlier. You said you were in real estate, right? Yeah, you were in real estate, but you basically had a job. I mean, it's
fix and flips. You're a trader.
Yeah, exactly.
With a D.
Right. It's transactional, and that it's a lot of work. I don't personally think it's the worst way, wholesaling or fix and flipping. I think it can be a great way to generate income.
It's a great way. It's what you do with that income that I've learned now. That's what I teach that it's taking that money and creating passive. And passive income is the true way to have freedom.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that's my mantra is like, do whatever you're doing in your, like, I have a lot of business owners that, they have very successful businesses they run, you know, HVACs, what you name it. And then they take their money that they make from their business and they invest it in a passive type of either with me or they do their own investments as well to create their getaway car.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm in a mastermind group. It's called the Passive Income Mastermind. And you can debate all day long about, you know, we love to put things into to make them black and white. It's either passive or it's not. Well, there's really kind of a lot of gray in between, in my opinion. But I completely agree with you. Generate income based, you know, from your business or your W-2 if that's, you know, if you can, and then put that into passive income, you know, generating assets. I love it. You know, talk us through kind of I know from the point where you saw the apartment building and realized how, and you changed your perspective, you framed it differently. You said, how can I own that? Talk us from that point up through today. I know that's a ton of growth and a lot of, you know, ups and downs and everything, but walk us through that from an entrepreneurial perspective.
From the entrepreneurial side, it was like, okay, so that was my new task. Okay. So I knew that fix and flip wasn't the model for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then what I've learned is I'm not that smart, but I'm an excellent, excellent copier. So I had to find a mentor for me. So I found a guy named David Lindahl. I read one of his books. I resonated with him. So I found him out. He's out of Boston, Massachusetts. Flew out there, gave him some money, became a friend, and he taught me everything that I know, right? And so then you just got to do the work. So then I'm like, okay, well, I got to find a deal. So, you know, underwrote a lot of deals. And a lot of them don't work, but then one did. And that one that did, I was able to take the money that I was already raising for the single family side and transition it and say, hey, listen, we're just going to move into this arena.
Sure.
And so we bought our first deal for $3.2 million. And we raised, $1.4 million of private money.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was my first deal. And even that one went sideways, Jamie, right?
Okay.
A little bit, right? So I made a couple of key mistakes. So I didn't actually find the deal. I had partners that people that I knew, I kind of knew, we'll call it, I kind of knew. They had a deal and they didn't have all the money that they needed to do the deal. And I knew that I had money, even though it wasn't my money, I knew I could command it.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So we struck a deal where it was supposed to be, you know, 75-25 split. I was going to own the 75. I was going to bring in my capital. And then, so we bought this deal for $3.2 million, right? So, but in when we closed, somehow they changed the operating agreement, and I didn't catch it, nor my attorney, where I did have a 75-25% of the ownership of the income, but on the voting rights, it was 33-33-33.
Oh, wow.
There was three guys, right? Me and two other guys.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I didn't have control.
And the other two guys were knew each other very well, it sounds like, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, so that was, I'm like, okay, I just took all these people's money. I told them I had control. Now I don't have control. So what do you do? Well, I'm not proud of this moment. I may have picked up the phone call and I did a, I'm coming and hell's coming with me kind of call. I'm going to be on your front doorstep tomorrow and we're going to figure it out. Right.
Aaron Chapman drove over in his Jeep and no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, we were going to go, I basically said, listen to this one guy. It's like, your POS, what you did was wrong. You know, you deceived it, right?
Sure.
And, but I'm coming and we're going to come to an agreement on price and I'm buying your shares.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Sure.
Now I didn't have any extra money at this time. So, but what I did have is I was resourceful and I knew I had investors that would give me money. Right. So it's more than what I expected, but so, at the end of the day, it was 200K. Boom, buy that guy out, right? So I paid him 200K. I had to call the guys like, hey, wire me 200K. made the move, got the shares. I was like, okay, now I'm back in control. Then my next problem happens. They had got us in a loan that was called it was called a lockbox. It's a full lockbox, meaning all the money goes into the bank that's account that's controlled by the bank. And the bank only will release the funds for expenses.
Got it.
Ooh. Well, I'd already promised my investors I'm paying them along the way.
Sure.
Uh-oh. We don't have money to pay investors.
Yeah.
What do I do? Call another guy. Hey, listen, I need another couple $100,000 for this deal, right? I put it in, you know, my own bank account and parlayed that money and it was paying from that. Now, so each of the steps of the way, I'm learning, like, know thy operating agreement, know thy business partner. Those little words matter, right? All those things really, truly matter. And then, but the one thing that I did right, Jamie, is I really underwrote the heck out of that deal. I understood what that deal needed and I understood what it could do.
Nice.
And so we ended up keeping it for 5 years. And we sold it for $8.8 million. So we bought it for 3.2 and sold it for $8.8 million, right?
Wow. How much did you put into it?
Zero of my money, right? Just $1.4 million of someone else's.
Right.
So I ended up making $2 million profit.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, that just as far as how were you, and I have some guesses, but tell the listener out there how you were able to just pick up the phone and receive 200K, for example. How did you have those connections? Well,
planted the seed when I was doing my fix and flip business, right? Those were a lot of my investors that I had worked with that give me money, time, and, and I give it back to them to give me money. So I built a little bit of a relationship with them, right?
Sure.
Now, that is my skill set. So the one thing, the difference between what I do now and I think what the difference in the separator for the people that are in multifamily is – the one skill set I mastered was how to raise capital.
Mm-hmm.
So I, instead of learning how to find a deal or how to be a great operator, which we have our own management company as well. But the skill set that I hold high above all others and that pays me the most money was learning how to raise capital. Now, I didn't say this earlier, but like I was a used car salesman, but I had a good friend that said, hey, man, you need to become a financial advisor. And I was like, well, don't you need to have a degree to do that? He goes, no, you just got to kind of like be an entrepreneur. I was like, oh, well, I started this real estate company business. Maybe that was early, like 2004, right? So I was like, maybe I can use that. So I did trade up from the car salesman to a financial advisor. It's still slimy either way.
Okay? Yeah. Well, no, but I think it is.
But that company taught me all about money.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think that, and I've mentioned this on once or twice previously on other episodes, but I think that's a key piece for the listener out there as far as you may not love the position that you're in right now. I'm not saying don't think about starting a business or don't think about switching careers, but do the best you can at the in the position you're in and learn what you can from that role. And you never know where you're going to be able to apply it later, because that's what happened to you, right?
Jamie, Corey? I'm doing this right now in my management company. So we just started this management company like 2 weeks ago. So
nice.
But something that I learned almost 18 years ago when I was a restaurant manager, right? Is they had, when I was managing a restaurant, they had what's called, when I first came on, I was the MIT, a manager in training. And every location paid a little bit of money to the collective, to the home office for the MIT program.
Okay. Right?
And that allowed them to have a training hub or training dollars to keep people in the system. Because as they try to grow and operate or people come and go, you want to have people that are already knows your system, knows the process, knows that are already bleeding your brand, right?
Sure.
And so I'm doing that with my management company. So we have an MIT program where we are now teaching these property managers. We have them go sit with the maintenance. Then we have to go with the community ambassador, then to the leasing, to the property manager. We get them all certified. These are young college kids because we have college properties, and they're deployable. So they're like, when I get a new location, they're ready. And then they're bleeding kahuna. They already know our warrior cry.
That's awesome.
And so I get a much better product. So that's a great example of I didn't like being a property manager.
Right, right.
But I learned some valuable lessons.
Right. And as you said already a couple times, you're a very good copier, right? You didn't actually come up with this idea that you're implementing now. I'm not taking anything away from you, but I love it. It's like, why reinvent the wheel if you've seen success before? Which is really, really gets to the kind of the point of this podcast is we're trying to learn from you. You've been through some hard times and you've reached abundance, and we're not saying you don't have any more challenges in your life or anything like that, but why can't the listener learn from you, Corey Peterson, as to learn from what you learned about the MIT program and some keys to success there. So, I guess what is you already touched on it, but what does your business look like today? And maybe one or two kind of broad brush lessons learned as far as scaling a business. How could you help the listener there?
I would tell you, hiring people as the CEO, or even if you're not the CEO, a lot of times we put on a lot of hats, but as you start to hire people, do not pass that off on anybody else, right? I believe now, and I have a hiring process again, it's called the 4 C's, right? There's, if you're watching in the video right now, you're going to see my 4 C's hiring process. But I stole that from another book called, A CEO Does 3 Things by Trey Taylor, right? I really, when I tell you, like, I am not smart, but I am an excellent copier. And so he has this thing where it's culture, capabilities, compensation, and commitment. And it's just a hiring process. And I follow it religiously. And, like, create your company. You have culture in your company, whether you know it or not. And so it's either you're going to take charge of that culture and breathe life into it, or it'll do its own thing. And so for me, the biggest component in any business is your people.
That's huge.
Don't like take that lightly, embrace it, but breathe life into it. And when you do that, magic always seems to happen. At least it has for me.
That's fantastic advice. So you still are heavily involved personally in all the hiring inside your companies?
We'll always be heavily, like I will always do it. It's my favorite part, right? It really is, because I get to tell about my, like the story that I just told, I tell that on every first hire. Like the culture piece is telling, you learn to, so here's a great thing. So any great company has a story, the foundation story. Develop yours, right? So I can put mine in very articulate ways of, I tell it like Bruce Wayne, right? I make some funnies out of it, right? But it's such a compelling story that it was like people gravitate towards that. And then you put some words and meanings behind your culture and what it really means. So for us, like we have, we call it the, like in the Bible, they have the Beatitudes. We call ours the Dakine attitudes, which is a Hawaiian word, right? And like, be the kind, you know, give them, spread aloha, right? Be ohana. The Rock said in Lilo and Stitch, your family, no one gets left behind. And then there are our favorite ones, make it mobetta.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. It's really easy for people to kind of look at these companies, especially the bigger companies, you know, Apple or whatever, Microsoft, and and think that's not, you know, there are no people there. It doesn't have a story. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have any problems, you know, or challenges. It's just like a innate thing, you know, but that's not true for the big businesses. And it's certainly not true for the small businesses. And so, yeah, I love it. It's there's such a human element to all of this, which again gets to kind of the root of this show, is just talking about the real challenges and the human element of overcoming adversity and getting to abundance. So I've got a few kind of rapid fire questions here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your business today. What's one thing that people misunderstand about you?
People that don't know me, they think that because I run a company that I'm all about money. And that's the farthest thing from my life, right? It's the people that really know me understand this, but sometimes people look out because you have to, our companies are, our business is supposed to make money. That's how we keep score. And they think sometimes that that's just the misconception. Now, my business entrepreneur people understand this, right? So, but people in the world, people that are working W-2s, well, they just don't understand us.
Yeah, this is a rich, greedy guy that's all about hoarding money. But question that's, go ahead.
Well, I just say I give away more money than I know, right? And I help raise money for projects that are real passion projects, right?
So question that's, this isn't on my list, but, you know, because I hear this sometimes, because you were working really hard, you had a, you were a workaholic and your family was suffering from it. And then you put in, you know, you put in boundaries and you were intentional about your calendar and blocking time for your priorities. You reprioritized. My question really is, wouldn't that be easier? Let me put it this way. Isn't it easier now for you to set those boundaries and to be a better husband, better father, you know, than it was, you know, back in the day when you didn't have as much income, you didn't have as much wealth? Isn't it easier now? And wasn't it therefore required for you to work 80, 90 hours a week back then? What would you say to that?
No, I don't think, like, once I made the change, right? So, like, I think it's more of a mental change. It has nothing to do with where you're at financially or not financially, in my opinion, right? You could start this off wherever you're at and just say, okay, I need to be present, right? So, like, there's some things you can do, like little things. Like, one of the first things I deal with my phone is after 6 o'clock, it goes on do not disturb. Unless you're one of my favorites, you can't get a hold of me, right? It will not ring. You have to call twice in a row for it to actually ring on my phone. That's the great thing about technology, is that you can utilize it that way, right? And so, and then really the time blocking, once you, if you will train yourself to live and die by your calendar. What I find is most people are very horrible at time management. And things they could, like, if you ever looked at someone going on a vacation, it's amazing what they get done in a week.
Yeah.
Everything magically happens and they get done, right?
Right, right.
Because they prioritize it and there's no waste.
Sure.
We can do that in our business lives too, is you can actually accelerate everything you're doing in a day. If you get really good and eliminate your waste, or you're like, oh, let me just check Facebook. Let me scroll and do a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You can be way more efficient.
Yeah.
Extremely more efficient.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So you can do those no matter where you're at in your business.
So you think you would have gotten to where you are today, even if you'd started time blocking and being more intentional?
I wish I would have had someone show me that way back then, right? I would have been living even a better lifestyle. I'm all about vision. You put your vision first.
Yeah.
And then you build your life to work around it, your work life. And it has to fit in the cracks, right? So if you put your family and the things you really believe are important, and then you put your business on top, it has to fit in the cracks.
That's great. Love that. If you could go back and have, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would you choose?
Oh gosh. Honestly, I wouldn't even do it with any historical, I would do it with my grandpa.
Okay. Tell us why.
Cause he was just a great man. He was just, he was young when he died, right? He had Parkinson's, but he was just always there. I would just love to hear his stories a little bit more. He had a lot of wisdom. He worked hard, but he was a farmer. And farm life, there's something about farm life that I think is really inspiring to the way he did it, right? He didn't have a huge farm, but he had probably 80 head of cattle and some chickens and some hogs. And I don't know, I felt like he was a great picture of a man that lived his life with purpose.
Love it. It's great. I know you have a book you've written, at least one book. We'll talk about it in a second. If you had to write another book this year, what would it be about?
We're actually working on it right now.
Okay.
but this is a book about, it's more of a how-to. It's really about the passive investor. So just writing to our avatars saying, hey, there's an alternative to the stock market, right?
Sure.
And, that'll be my third book, right?
But okay. Well, tell us about the first two.
The first one is it's called Why the Rich Get Richer was my first one. And that was really a book on apartments, but it wasn't well written, I'll put it. It was my first book, right? It's like just put one out there. The one I'm most proud of, which is my hero's journey, is the book. It's called Copy Your Way to Success, Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. And you've heard me say the word copy a lot. I wrote every word of this book, right? The first one I had someone interviewed me. They took my words. They made it into a story. This one I wrote over a 2-year period of time on the plane when I was flying and when I had spare time. And it's my hero's journey, right? It has that story of me, of the pain spot, right? Mm-hmm. And it really in detail fully explains my rags to riches story. I think that's very inspiring. So that's why I like it the most, because it's a very inspiring book of how I turned street smarts into something that's made me a multimillionaire.
It's fantastic. I got to get
a
hold of that.
I'll give it to your audience. So there's a real easy way for them to get it. If they'll text the word book, B-O-O-K, to 480-500-1127, they'll just answer the prompts and we'll send them one for free.
480-500-1127. Did I get that
text
right?
The word book. Yep. The word
got
book.
Got it. Awesome. What is one thing that you are, one challenge in your business right now that you're struggling with or facing? There's always, many, many challenges. What's one that comes to mind for you in your business right now?
People. It's always people. Like people is the most challenging and most fun, right? So, I feel like, how can I create a better culture? How can I onboard people faster to get it, right? To sink it. So that's what we've been really working on is how do we, what's the recipe? Do we bring them to the home office? How do we create that environment where we get the mold that we're looking for, right?
Sure.
And I think that'll always be a work in progress for us.
Yeah. But,
and we get it right really good, but it's still something that's always on my mind is how can I do it a little bit better? How can I improve upon the product? And what do I need to be doing differently, right? What, and a lot of times it's asking feedback, right? Even the ones that say no, like if you didn't hire somebody, maybe learning why they didn't want to go through your process, what was it? And then you ask, sometimes that's just the way it is. But
sure.
There's also some good exit feedback that you can get. Or when people leave you, exit feedback, really trying to pay attention to that and saying, oh, boy, I didn't know that I was broken here.
Sure.
Right?
Well, that's, yeah, it's, it can be humbling, but very valuable to gather that information. And the only reason you're struggling, well, one reason you're struggling with it and you're focused on it, maybe you're not struggling with it, but there's always challenges, is because it's so important, like you said earlier. I mean, if hiring and people weren't the backbone of your business, I don't think you would have answered that way.
Yeah, no, because I say it, I mean, it's a challenge. I want to do it. Like, right. I have this, like, in my mind, there's perfection, right?
yeah.
And there's a level that we're running, which is good. I mean, which I think it's better than average.
Sure.
But I feel like there's a chasm between, like, I want to be award-winning, right? How do I create that? And I feel like we're getting closer, but that's my desire, is to have all my people like, dude, we're Kahuna, who are you? Right? And I don't feel like I'm there yet. I may not ever get there, but I'm going to keep trying to improve.
If you were given $10 million tomorrow, just somebody cut you a check for no, it's not an investment, it's just a gift. What would you do with it?
Invest in real estate.
Love it.
There's nothing else. I mean, I would just invest in another deal, right? I'd probably give a lot to charity, right? So I'm in a group called the Chandler Compadres here in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay.
We raise a lot of money for youth, for the Boys and Girls Club here to our local chapter. I think last year we raised $1.5 million for local charities. And it's very important to me. And so I would do that, probably give to my church. And then I'd take the rest of that money after I gave maybe 20% of it away and go do some more real estate. Why not? Right.
It's awesome. Yeah, I love it. So tell us about kind of the multifamily space, you know, this year and what opportunities you have going on for the passive investor, and just kind of speak to the real estate and multifamily investing space today.
Yeah. So we're on a pause, right? We're not buying anything right now. Probably not buying anything till maybe third quarter. We still think the Fed's going to raise rates a little bit more. I don't have to buy. I'm not in a spot where I need to buy. So I'm just being patient, right? I'd like to see a little bit more of the market get, there's a lot of trading still going on. There's a lot of transactions going on, but we're just not ready to participate yet. I think we're going to wait till the third quarter. We've got a development project that we can green light whenever we want to. That's on land that we already own just adding to more units to one of our existing properties. We'll probably do that at the end of the year for sure. And hopefully find maybe one more deal. Like that would be our mantra for 2023. That's, I think that's probably what we'll do this year. And really more hell-bent focused on operations as we just took over our management company, making sure we really dial in our SOPs for that company and just getting it like machined.
So about that acquisition, so that sounds like that was an operational company that you took over. Is that right?
Well, we just created it. So we fired our third party management company because they suck. And yeah. I would say all property management that are fee-based, they suck because they're fee-based. We're not in alignment on how it works, right? We're profit and loss and they could care less. They just want their fees.
Sure.
And so we finally got to a size that it really makes sense to vertically integrate. But the question was, did we really want to do it? And we'd wrestled with that for almost a year. And finally, we just said it's time, right? And I'm so glad that we did, because I think that is the absolute right choice, and I know that it is now in my heart. Our product's going to be better. And really the story of even our company is it all makes sense, right? And so now we have more people, right, to bring in. And that's why it's part of my challenge. We said about my challenge. Right. Is I've got to get all these new people that we just took over that are at our properties. They were employees of my old management company.
Uh-huh.
So now I've got to figure out, how do I get them onboarded to my culture and my way as soon as possible?
Yeah, that's a lot.
So we're flying them out. Like, we just like, we got to get them integrated. We got to go break bread with them. We got to catch and sell the vision.
Nice. So with regard to the investment side, back to that, you're not under any pressure for, you know, I don't know, with like floating rate debt or bridge loans or anything to any deals? No,
we still have some of those. Yeah, we have. Okay. We have. Those are other issues. But like we have two properties that are in bridge debt that are under what's called soft lockbox control because the interest rates went high. These deals are actually profitable, but and we have what's called rate locks on them. So we're getting paid a delta for the rate lock, but the property is not counting that as income. So we've fallen below our debt coverage ratio. So we still have two more loans to place to get rid of that. We'll get that done in August because we had a prepayment penalty. If we paid off early, we're not willing to pay that. So we're patient. Our investors are really good and savvy. They understand, like we from the beginning, when we tell our investors, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Sure. That's really good to set the expectations like that.
Yeah.
And so what do you have open opportunities for investors now?
We do, but you got to go through our process. Like, we couldn't offer them to anybody that's that's listening. But we're regulated by the SEC. We're under regulated by the SEC. You can go to our website, Kahuna Investments, and get through our process. But we really have, there's some rules that we've got to follow. We got to get to know you. We have to have what's called an accredited investor questionnaire filled out. Once we do that, we can show you future deals.
Got it. Understood. Makes a lot of sense. What have I not asked you that you'd like to talk about?
Man, you've done a really good job. This has been a great little story. I would tell you this, the one thing that I believe for anybody that's listening, right? I believe the power of your mind is everything. If you really look at study, anybody that's had a very high level of achievement in anything, whether it's business, sports, you name it, something happened and something that these people do, and I would consider myself one of these people, to do it at a level that's pretty high level, there's a switch that we have. I don't think we don't have buttons. We have switches. Switches are different than dials, right? Sure. Dials you can turn up and turn down. A switch is on or off. And for me, the ones that I see that really go is they have a switch. Once they decide to make up their minds on something, it is all consuming. That's how real estate is for me. It's a switch. I'm that passionate about it today as I was when I first started. I love the game. I love what it does. You know, Tom Brady, that was a switch guy, right? And listen, it's the hardest thing for that guy right now to see and watch it have to turn it off. Absolutely. He doesn't want to turn it off. And so what did he do? He's like, I'm going to become a broadcaster because I still want, I love it. I love the game of football. That's him, right?
Yeah.
I find people, when you find your passion, man, that's a switch. And when you will follow your passion, but it starts with an idea. And listen, I believe if you believe it, you can achieve it.
I love it. I mean, you mentioned a couple examples in your life, instances where when you talk about switches, you know, you said when you went to Hawaii and you saw the example of Bruce, you know, maybe you didn't follow it exactly right away how you should have, but it was a big mental switch. Like,
my life changed forever.
What's possible? You're seeing, whoa, that's possible. I can create abundance. I can create wealth. And then the second big one was you know, the soccer, kind of what we'll refer to as the low point, but it sounds like you had a major mental switch there as well. And I just love that you took action and, you know, are you perfect? No, but I mean, you've put in place, you've been very intentional about calendaring, your life basically and protecting your time. And the reason you're doing that is because you've prioritized, family and relationships with it both inside and outside of your business.
My business works to serve me, right? To serve my personal vision. And that's awesome.
That's really good. Fantastic. Corey Peterson, this has been very good. I've really enjoyed this episode and I know the listener will as well. Where can our listeners reach out to you online?
Yeah, so if they listen to podcasts, we have a podcast called Multifamily Legacy Podcast, or go to our website, kahunainvestments.com.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Corey. This has been great. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, brother.
And to the listener out there, we also very much appreciate your time, which is your most valuable resource. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, your time. If you like the show, please share it with your friends and fellow podcast listeners. One entrepreneur at a time, we can change the world. See you next time.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.